All right, so I just want to, I'm going to dedicate this for the memory of my grandfather's yahrzeit. It was on Tuesday. Shmuel ben Pinchas HaKohen, his neshama shavuliyah. Okay, so this is the chapter 16 of the Gvuras Hashem. And we mentioned last time, he made a quick reference to the idea of Moshe's birth having different. So there, here he goes, gets really into it, again, quoting from the Gemara in Sota, that, again, it's just so interesting that all of this is being brought down in the Gemara there. But either way, that everybody notices the fact that when Amram and Yocheved end up getting together to have and give birth to Moshe, it doesn't use their names. It tells us a man from Vayelich Ish mi Beis Levi, and he gets Bas Levi. So, where are the names? So, there are a lot of different shatim. Like, I always learned that the idea of the names going, you know, absent is kind of like giving us a feel for what it means when you go into Gullus. There's a loss of identity. There's therefore no names. Maral, based on the Gemara, has an interesting understanding, specifically when it comes to Amram and Yocheved, and the fact that the Torah doesn't give us their names. So what's pshat there? So it starts off and it says, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Lehechan Halach. Where did he go? So Amram Rabbi Yuda bar Zvina, Shehalach ba'atzas bito. He went with the Eitzah of his daughter, Miriam. So the explanation is that what? That Amram was the Gadol Hador, and when Paro made the gezerah that all the boys should be thrown into the Or, so he says, why should we bother with having children? And at that point, he divorced Yocheved. And being that he was the Gadol Hador, all the Jews followed. His daughter came to him and said, your gezerah is harsher than Paro's, because Paro was only gozer on the male children. Your gozer, you're basically making gezerah on all children, both male and female. And then also she said, Paro is only gozer on this world, and you're being gozer on this world and the next world. And basically at that point she tells him about the idea that there's going to be the birth of Moshe. So then he goes in Avim Tomar, so and basically she has, that's what we say, Miriam Hanavia, that she had the prophecy about the birth of Moshe. So comes along, and so he says here that Vim Tomar Lama Haisa Hanavuah de Miriam, so then why is the prophecy through Miriam? Velo Haita Hanavuah Aide Aaron. So if you're talking about prophecy, so why is it going to come through Miriam? It should come through Aaron. So Venera Lomar, ki nevuah zot hi haita ru'uya la Miriam. This had to be specific to Miriam. Why? Ki ha'gula ayidei Moshe v'Aaron k'dechsev. Because when it comes to the ge'ula of Mitzrayim, it's actually done through Moshe and Aaron. L'fichach lo haya Aaron misnabe al zeh. So therefore, Aaron could not be the one who prophesizes about this. Why? When it comes to prophecy, the prophet only prophesizes on other people. But never is it a personal thing. So a prophet can't prophesize on anything that he's involved in. If he's nogea directly, it's not possible. So therefore, he only sees for others. Lefichach ilu haya Aaron misnabe alei das Hamashiach. So if Aaron was the one that would have had the prophecy about the birth of the Redeemer, Hayim Misnabe al Atzma, he'd also be indirectly prophesizing about himself. Shari Ein Moshe below Aaron, because there is no, you don't have it, a situation of Moshe on his own. It really was Aaron with him all the time. And they're really considered to be like one when it comes to the Gula. Miriam. That's why Miriam as below Aaron, and that's why it's specifically Miriam that has this nevuah and not Aaron. Then on a practical note, he says, the Efshar also, Mishum Sha'aron Hayapachos Mishalo Shanim, because we know that the age difference between Aaron and Moshe is 3 years, right? So Aaron was not of 3 years, 3 years of age at that point. And he was too young to be able to be a prophet at that point. He says it as to recognize the creator. Right, so we see that there's one of the opinions is that Avram started seeing, understanding the creator of the world when he was 3 years old. But less than 3 years old, it's not possible. So since Aaron is less than three, so that's another reason. So he gives us two reasons as to why it couldn't be Aaron and it had to be Miriam. Okay, so now, Vidarshu Vahoshiva Aperion. So the Gemara there in Sota tells us that when Amram got back together with Yocheved, he made a big, very public display of the wedding. So V'yesh L'tmoa, Ma Ba Lashmi'inim B'zeh, Shehoshiva Aperion V'asa Ma'asa L'kuchim. What is it coming to teach us that he brought her back? Aperion's like a bed. Like, so they did a major procession, and he did another wedding. But he said the truth is this is a very deep idea. This whole thing was a process of doing a new, fresh like wedding. Because she actually returned at the age of 130 to being like a teenager. Right, so she's coming back to being youthful. So therefore, she was like a new person. He has to do a new whole, marriage to her. Just like she had just returned back to being youthful, so too he had to go back and remarry her. Begins a niflamod. And this, so what does this mean? What does it mean that she, how does this work? All of a sudden, she's miraculously, at 130, she's gone out, she's running, marathons, and she's vibrant again, and her whole, ability to give birth has returned. What's going on here? And it's funny because it's only 3 years before that Aaron was born. So, okay, but let's see. But he says, he explains like this. Because our taskil tavin, Chazarat Neureha Shahaya Leocheved. So to understand this idea of her return to her youthful physical body, Kikashar Yalda et Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. So Dafka, specifically when she gave birth to Moshe, she returned back to this youthfulness. So Kikashar Yalda Moshe Rabbeinu. One second. Okay, Kikasha Yaldam at Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Shahaya Al Kol B'nei Adam B'mala. See, now what he says, explains is it really had to do with the fact that it preceded the birth of Moshe. And Moshe himself was the most unique person that ever lived. Kedechsiv will come Navi Kimosha Od. So this is going to be bringing us to this very unique. The birth of a very unique person. V'malas Moshe hu me'olam ha'alyam. The nature of Moshe, or his extremely high level, he's coming from a world that of the above. Asher mimenu mitchadesh hakol. And from there, all is mitchadesh, is renewed. Now, what does that mean? Because the idea of that only new things can come from above is that Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, he says, "Ein davar chadash tachas hashemesh." There's nothing new under the sun, right? So they learn under the sun there's nothing new. But new things can come to the world from that which is above the sun. So from the spiritual realm, you can have totally, things can become completely new. And therefore, Moshe, who's coming from the Olam Ha'elyon, from that place, Asher Mimenu Mitchadesh Hakol. So from that place of the above the sun, meaning from the world of the spiritual, that's where you can have things that are completely new. Lakach, Lakach, Kasher Lakcha. So that's where when Amram took Yocheved back, Hayakan lekuchim chadashim. He had a totally new marriage to her. V'chazer liyod nar, and she returns to being a teenager. Shahaya mitchadesh hakol b'koch osamala aliona. This, where is it coming from? How is she all of a sudden becoming so youthful? It's based on the fact that it's pulling from the place of the above. So it's like this is a spiritual thing that's occurring. Shemimena mitchadesh hakol. And this reflects for us the exalted level of Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Hashalom. Ki nishmaso hayakadosh kadoshim, because his soul was coming from the Holy of Holies. Netzal min hamala harama v'hanisa'a ha'alyona, asher hi chidosh ha'chadosh ha'olam. So he's coming, the nature of his neshama is coming from this supernal place, so lofty, that's where you can have this idea of spring, full, spring, young, you know, new, like this vibrancy that had not been seen at that point. V'lachach kasher holida et Moshe. So when she gave birth to Moshe, chazor liodnara bivadai v'heven zeh. So he's explaining that basically the idea that Yocheved was 130. And was remarried to Amram, that everything had to be done new, and that all of a sudden she becomes this youthful person, that's coming from a spiritual place. It was not it's beyond the physical, but when you tap into this place, which is above the sun, meaning the world of the Elyon, of the above, that's how this explains everything. And why? And why does this happen? Because Moshe's, it's a reflection of Moshe's lofty soul, that through his loftiness, everything is impacted. And so Yocheved is brought into this as well. It's pretty unbelievable, right? So now, he said, it's interesting. So here's a classic maral, right? He goes after the Ibn Ezra. V'harav Ibn Ezra, hiksheh v'perush hachomesh harbe dvarim al perush chachamim v'parshus v'yigash. So the Ibn Ezra asks on, when he says the Perish Chacham, he's talking about the Gemaras or the Midrashim, the earlier Chazal, specifically in Parshas Vayigash, the Iker Kushiyato al Divrei Chachamim, asking on the Gemara in Sota. Shem Haya Hadavar Kach Sheyalda Et Moshe Rabbein Olav HaSholem V'Hai Sabas 130 Kof Lamed Lama Lo Hizker Kosev Et Hanis Hazeh Shehi Bas 130. So why does the Torah not tell us? If that's what's going down, Let the Torah should tell us. Yocheved was 130. Why do we have to kind of figure it out ourselves? Why is it not overtly stated? That's the answer's question. So answers, v'divrei havai, hakasha, hiksha, alchach me'olam. And these are still the words of that are empty, basically, that he asked on the chach me'olam, referring to the idea of what was stated in the Gemara. Okay, why should the Torah tell us that she was 130? So what do we know what's going on at this time is that you have an unusual birth rate, and the nature of how the birthing is being done is so outside of the norm that that's really the story. Right? You have these women that are giving birth to six kids at a time. Unusual, right? And they're surviving. It probably like that was the, you know, like it's one thing to have, you know, that this is like going on. And you have all this like the multiplying that's not normal. Ain't a chiddush mashaholi dead Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom bas 130 shana. Shalom k'min hago shalom. So this is just in line. Everything that's going on in terms of the procreation that's going on at this point is so unusual that Yocheved giving birth at 130 is no different. It's just part of the whole story here. And the Torah already told us, you know, that they're multiplying. Shari nira ki chizak hakadosh baruch hu tiv'ehem laholid. And you see that God has now sent a special power of of birthing that's going on here. V'yoter chidashiyu kol hador parm v'ravim harbi v'keres echan v'ein zeh pele im haita yoledes v'hi bas kavlamed. Right? So the idea that you have this amazing thing that she's 130, it's part and parcel of what's going on at the time. Okay. So he says that's why. Now, additionally, on the Ibn Ezra's issue, V'o, ta'oz gamur ta'. This, he made a major mistake here. Why? She says, over ki kol ha'dvar ma'asheh nechtev v'tara lo nechtev rak b'shvil dvar chidish. His assumption is, he says, he thinks that everything that's written in the Torah is written for that which is new, or some kind of thing that, the abnormal, let's call it. V'ena davar kach. There were great miracles that happened. Lo nechtevu b'Torah. Not every miracle made the Torah. Ki ein haTorah sipur chidushim. It's not about telling. It's not a book of miracles. Raki Torah natna mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's get it straight first and foremost. The Torah is that which God gave us directly. Mikasher hayer mitzad atzmo liyod nizkar hanes b'Torah nechta b'Torah. When it's necessary to state a miracle, the Torah will tell us it. Like we see with the Avos, that there were incredible miracles that happened to them. And then the other times when, and there we see that the Torah goes and spends a lot of ink to give us those details. So, Bereshis Rabba, Beparshis Chayesara, Amar Biyacha, Yafasi Chasan Shal Avdi Avos, Nitaras and Shalbanim. So, this famous idea that we see that the Torah spends a lot of time giving us a story with Eliezer, right? Eliezer, we have version 1, version 2, they give multiple versions of the same thing, right? So they say in the Medrash, brought down in Bereshis Rabba, Parshas Chayesara, that we see from this that Hashem, the Sicha of Avdi Avos, is greater than that of the Torah of the children. Meaning what? Parshas Eliezer, Shnayim Mishalosh Adapim Kefula B'Torah, we have many pages there, 2, 3, double pages in the Torah for the story of Eliezer. Va'asheretz migufa shel Torah, and the sheretz, which is one of the things, the ideas of the Torah, v'ein damo metame kibisaro el miribo mikro. And the idea that you're going to learn that the halacha of that the blood of the sheretz has the same status as the skin, that's learned from a little, extra letter or whatever. There's a ribo in the mikro, right? You get it from like a hint. You have to delve into, right? So this it's so cryptic when it gets to those halachos. So the Medrash is making an observation that clearly is something very special to the conversations of Eliezer, the Avdi Avos, over that of the straight halachos. Amar Rabbi Abba. Same idea, but Yafer Rechitas Ragli Avdi Avos Mitaras and Shalbanim Shafilo Rechitas Ragli Avdi Avos Sarach Lumechta Vesheretz Humi Gufi Atar Vein Damo Matami Kivisar Elam Mibra Mikra Ad Kan. Same idea. So you see that this is not, you have much more of how the Torah gives it much more time, the Sicha, or this, the events that happened around the Avdi Avos, than what we get with our Halachas. So again, going back to this idea that Ibn Ezra asked this question about why did the Torah not tell us about this? And he says, first things foremost, we have to remember that the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God speaking to us directly. And it's not a book of just like every miracle that happened that's recorded. So now, but what? V'zeh Shanela min Rav Ibn Ezra. And this is what was missing from the Ibn Ezra. V'hu inyan nifle. And this is the amazing thing. Ki haTorah hi seder haolam. The Torah is the order of the world. Ba bara hakadosh baruch hu et olam. Because with the Torah, God created the world. V'lefichach hadvarim shehem ikar yisod haolam. The things that are the foundation of the world. HaTorah mesaper b'hem barichas. We see that the Torah spends a lot of time on that. And so, kemo avos haolam. And specifically, right, we talk about the avos haolam. Shame Avos v'Shorash al Umah Yisraelis, right? The Avos, they are the roots, they are the foundation for the Jewish nation, for Umah Yisraelis. Shame Ikar Olam, which is the essence or the Ikar of this world. Nimsa ki Avos Heim Yisod Olam, and therefore they are the foundation for the entire world. And so therefore, the Torah spends a lot of time to explain to us that which is going to ultimately be the foundations for the entire world. So don't ask the question why the Torah spends time telling us about how Sarah was, how old she was when she gave birth to Yitzchak. She came derech hakasav l'saper barichus afilu ma shekar lav diavos kol shekein ma shekar lehem ba'atzvam. Right? If you're spending a lot of time telling me about what happened to the servants, for sure you're going to tell me about what happened to them as well. And therefore it goes out of its way to tell us about Sarah and her age at that point. And because again, so he's saying that really, like, remember that the Avos is, you know, that's where the Torah spends a lot of time. It's because it's explaining to us about the thing that these are the underpinnings, they're the roots of what the world and is going to be built on. And so therefore we got a lot of ink on that. So now, at this point he's done with Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra's question, he's answered it by saying that in terms of what was really happening at the time, it's part and parcel of everything that was going down. There was some miraculous thing going on in terms of the birth rate and everything related to giving birth. And number two is that this is not, you know, it's a side point. It's not, this is not the key, though. You know, if you want to know about age of a woman that's older, like, okay, that's what the Avos, like, so the Avos had got extra press as opposed to what's going on here. Now, I still have to get back to why is there this ambiguity in the names of Amram and Yocheved? Why are they absent? Because the Torah later on tells us. So, but why leave it out here? Mamasha Darshu Zal and Sota, Minichsiv Bas Levi, Hainu Shim Haita Nara Vihibur Shisaviha, Shaykh Lemikriosa Bas Levi. Now, if she's a young woman, she's still living at home at her father's home, it makes sense to call her Bas Levi. Shein la shein bifnei atzma, aval zod kfar gadla, but here she's already a mature adult. The Hebrew shus atzma, she's no longer living at home. So havele lemichta vayelech ish mi beis levi vayikach isha vihi bas levi. So then that should have said, a man from the house of Levi went and took a woman who is bas levi, but that's not what it says. So the fact that it says it the way it says. So the lohiskir hakasav shem Amram v'shem Yocheved lichtov vayelech ish mi beis Levi v'shmo Amram vayikach es bas Levi v'shmo Yocheved. Why doesn't it tell us who they are? Shezeh mora. So the reason is to tell us about the loftiness of Moshe. Shehu nivdal mimbal loso mikol adam al pnei adama, because he of his special stature, which he is much higher than any person that ever lived. Lefichach lo zachar etzel aviv v'imo rak shem stam. So therefore, we get this ambiguity when it comes to the names of the parents. No personalization here. V'lo shem prati. Ki shem ha-prati mora al ish miyuchad. If you start getting names, you're talking about a specific person. V'mnesha av v'aim hu siba l'ben. And that then, hey, this is Amram, this is Yocheved, they had the son Moshe. So then we feel that they're the cause of who Moshe is. V'mhaya Amram Yocheved Sibel Moshe v'mashehein b'nei Adam pratiyim elu. And if that's the case, hayagam kein Moshe ashehu heim Sibel elav Adam pratize. So then Moshe would dictate to us, here's Moshe, here's Amram and Yocheved's kid Moshe. So he's just another, he's in that line coming from them. V'apratize enu nivdal min haklal. So then there's nothing, I mean, he could be special, but this idea of his separateness, that he's going to be so lofty, you wouldn't get that. Ki haprati zehu chelek hakol, v'az lo hayam v'malas Moshe nivdal mikol adam. You wouldn't get the fact that Moshe is really this unique and special, out there type of guy. I shouldn't say guy, but like the idea of that he's different and beyond. L'chach hiskir avi v'imo b'shem ha'pashot. That's why we get this very ambiguous, the man and the woman. So it's to express, it's really to give us Moshe. V'amar v'yelech ish mi'beis Levi lomar ki haya told us Moshe alav ha'shalom mi'amar v'yocheved lo b'mashehu pratizeh rak b'mashehu ish belvad. So it's specifically that he's a man, not that it's Amram, not that it's Yocheved. It's this man and this daughter of Levi. So again, to give us, to really help us understand where, who is Moshe, where is he coming from? V'od, he called prate hu mitzad achamri. Also, the idea of personalization is going to be that which is connected to the physical. Kasha yadua mi'in na prati, she'in bedavar shehu nivdal min achamri prati. Moshe ha'chaya nivdal lagamri, lo nolad b'sibat pratit klal. So, when you have something that's in the it's personalized, right? She'in bedavar shehu nivdal min achamri, something that's completely separated from the physical, doesn't have that type of personalization in the sense of when you start giving, like this is like a regular person, you're going to, by identifying the same way you would do anybody else. But Moshe, since he's completely, you know, removed from this, so then you don't, it's just not laid out the same way. V'lachach lo nemer etzlo shem prati, rakasav shem ish, shehu shem l'chol ish, v'eno shem prati miyuchad. V'zemora al madregas nevdalas elkis. So what he's saying is that basically the Torah goes through this exercise in order to be able to convey to us that the person that's being born here is different. And so therefore the names are absent, the personalization's gone, so that it's going to be explaining that this is coming from a different place, a different realm. V'od, shem zachar shmam ha'atzmi, and if it would have given us their personal names, hayam mashma ki b'shvil amra mitzad shu adam pratiza b'minu ha'gol olam. You would have said that, okay, it's because of Amram, the fact that he's whoever he's on a personal level, that for that, and that the Redeemer came from him, shekachum mashma vayelech Amram v'yikach Yocheved. If you would have said it that way, that Amram went and took Yocheved, ritzono lomar mitzad shehem b'nei Adam pratiim nolad Moshe. Mashma ki Amram v'yocheved ikar b'leidas Moshe. So then you would start saying, okay, who's responsible for this? It's Amram and Yocheved. What's interesting is, if you start to think about it, kind of like it's you know, we know that Amram and Yocheved were Moshe's parents, but when you don't, you know, when we stop to think about it, it's like you don't really, like, you know, it's not something like, oh yeah, so the Torah is done in a way, so here we are thousands of years later, and there's that separation that's been created by the way the Torah laid it out for us, so we don't really like automatically associate, we think of Moshe as like this independent. You know, it's like he's really been coming from a place that's different. It's Kamosha Koladam Shel Molded Ben, Shehunola Bishvil Haav, Shelohaya Haav Hazel, Lohaya Ben. Right? Because normally we say, father begets the son, and so the son is a reflection of the parent. Mimnesha Moshe Ben Alava Sholem, Hayamuchan, the Geula, Misheshim Ebrashis. But Moshe is coming from a different place. Moshe is, Mamish, the way he's explaining it is that he is literally from the beginning of time, he was set to be the Goel. All that needed to be was him being brought into the world. Because he already was ready for this. He was, like, again, waiting from the beginning of time. So, like, it could have been them, it could have been anybody else. So, therefore, if it says, V'im kasa v'yelech Amram, hayimashmeim lo haya Amram zeh, lo ba hagal lolam. If it wasn't for Amram, if it said it that way, then the goal wouldn't have come. Ki ein shnei Amram ba'olam. L'fichach siv v'yelech ish. Ki ish anashim harbi ba'olam, v'ein zeh, yesh acher, v'havein zeh gam kein. So he's saying, understand that Moshe is coming no matter what. Happens to be that Amram and Yocheved are the ones who did it, but that's the way that the Torah is expressing it to us, is to tell us Moshe's coming regardless, and is not really a reflection per se from on the parents. I mean, the parents are not the drivers here.
Also, they didn't really raise Moshe either, right?
You know, well, we know that Yocheved nursed him, right? But Pas Paro, right? He grew up so 100%. It's pretty wild. So the question then at this point then becomes, okay, so then what about this Bas Levi, you know, Ishmi, you know, like, so it's like we're definitely getting a stress that it's coming from Levi, right? So is there something to that? So V'yesh L'chalayin, Lama Hutzrach L'michta V'yelech Ishmi Beis Levi, L'haskir Shem HaShevet. Why does it tell us about the tribe, Levi? V'lohavi L'michta V'rak V'yelech Ish V'yikach Es Bas Levi. So like the fact that now we see, if you're telling me that everything is being like kind of removed and it's really being very ambiguous, so then why tell us about Shevet Levi? That's taking a permit, you know. Because the truth is, the Gaul needed to come from Shevet Levi. Right, and that's, by the way, a double, right? It's not just the father's side, it's also that the mother's from there. What is the Shevet Levi? Who Shevet Shlishi Yashen is Kadesh. It's the third tribe that is made holy. We know that Shevet Levi was not persecuted. They were not made slaves in Mitzrayim. That's why, specifically from this tribe, you have the Redeemer. Right? And that's because it's a reflection on the Kedusha of the Shevet. Because the truth is, this, the servitude that's going on in Egypt is connected to that which is physical. So those that are connected very to the very physical, they're the ones who are under the thumb of the Egyptians. But when it comes to, right, so that, as opposed to Shevet Levi, but he's saying, Shehu Muchan Lishtabe Bo Lios Pael Vezad Nidvar Lamala. So that's the one, meaning the one that's connected to the physical, that's the one that's open to being put under the controls, the physical controls of the Egyptians. And that's who it's played out through, Liyad Mit Pael Vezad Nidvar Lamala. Amnam Shevet Levi, Rimesha Yakadosh, Rimishu Kadosh, who Nivdali Masa Achomer, as opposed to Shevet Levi, which is holy, and since, as in his status of being holy, we see that they are really separated from this the physical, from the Maaseh Chomer, like we explained earlier. So the whole time that the Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, was in the Shibud, so at that point, it wasn't open to be that Shevet Levi would be, that the Shevet Levi could become like control or become over the Egyptians. So now there are two things going on here. What he's saying is like this. On one hand, you should think that if Levi is so lofty, then maybe they should be able to, you know, come and have power over the Egyptians. So that at this point, because the whole rest of Yisrael is still under, you know, this the influence of the Egyptians, so that's not happening. But at the same time, in Kol Makom, the Zchus of Shevet Levi and their holiness did allow them to not be under the subjugation of the Egyptians. So it's like they can't use this power to become over the Egyptians, but at the same time, they themselves are not going to be under their they're not going to be, you know, lorded over by the Egyptians. The Echiyah Moshel Aleihem Achomer Hagoraze Heim HaMitzrim Ad Shehayu Yisrael Ro'im LaHigael. So they can only come and become like in control of this lowly, disgusting Egyptian, you know, physicality until the whole Jewish people are ready to become redeemed. V'az Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hagol Mishevet Moshlim Hu Shevet Levi Asher Hu Kadosh V'Nivdal V'az Haya Moshel Alachomer Hei Mitzrayim Asher Nimshel Lachomer K'dechsev Asher Basar. Right, so it's interesting. He's saying that the setup here is, at a certain point, there's going to be a shift, that the nature of that which is very spiritual and elevated, it should be able to take control and rise up above the physical Egyptians. But because the most of the Jewish people were still subjugated, they never got that power. But when the Jewish people are ready, then all of a sudden, you see them, you know, elevate and come over them. And therefore, Yatsa Mishevi Levi Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. So that's why Moshe comes out of the Shevet. Ashehu Hatsura HaShleim. Because Moshe, who is Moshe? He is the most perfect spiritual being that ever was. And as we understand, he's completely separate from the physical and the physical restraints. There's no one that ever was able to overcome the physical like Moshe. And therefore he was ready to be the one who could take control over the Egyptians. Like it says, Re'ein Nesaticha Elokim L'paro. So when it says that, when it makes these references that Moshe is going to be like an Elohim, he's like an Elohim to power. He means he's going to lord over power. How so? From the power of who he is. And the fact that he's so not physical and so lofty, and so we call it, he says it Nivdal, like separate and in that sense. So that's where that comes from, that ability for him to be, you know, be above the fray. So then he says, and so that's why, so that explains Shevet Levi. So we have why it's never, the de-emphasis of the specificity of who the parents are, is to tell us, Moshe's, you know, again, to help us get to that place where Moshe is really identified as very unique in his spiritual stature. And at the same time, he's coming from a place which is Shevet Levi. That's very much emphasized as well, because Levi had that special status as a group. So, Vatara Isha Vatele Ben. Vaha Havat Ma'abra Bei Meikara. So, was she already pregnant from before? So, Vatara, she got pregnant and then she gave birth. Amar Avyuda Bar Bizna. Mekish Leidasa Lahorasa. You see the hekesh between a comparison, or like a parallel between her pregnancy and her giving birth. Maharata Shalobitsar, just like while she was pregnant, there was no pain. Afle Dasa Shalobitsar, so too her giving birth had no pain. Bikan, from here we see that Lenashim Tzidkanios Shalohayu Bipakta Shalchava, that the women who were Tzidkanios, they did not suffer from the curse of Chava. Birzeh, the Yalfinan Basamah, the Haita Muberas Kodem Shehzira. We learned, I guess, in the Gemara there, that she had been Muberas, she had been pregnant before she came back. Like it says, Vidarshuzal Shemasha Kasa Vatarva Teled. So what does it mean that a Vatarva Teled? Teach us this idea, really, that what? That she had no pains in birth. So Vyesh Khaladas. We should know that man, the human being that God created, is the completion of the world, of the creation that's found below. And the fact that man, quote-unquote Adam, right, is the completion of creation, Lo yimshach acharav chisarn v'lo p'chisus. There should be no loss, no negative anything related to him. V'lo haya techilas b'riyas ha'adam li'os lo shum tzar ba'olam. Because the truth is, the original creation of man should have had no pain whatsoever associated with him in the world. V'lo b'parnasa shalom, he didn't have to have any tzar in parnasa either. All this occurs after the sin. Because if the nature of reality that man should be bad, man would not have been created. The fact that we are here is testament to the fact that we should be here. And that also, but at this, the idea of any negativity connected to us, it shouldn't have been. Ra should have no existence whatsoever. Okay? So lachach b'chol hanimsang sivayar kitov. Think about this. In God's creation, in the story, everything that God sees in creation, he says, it's good. There's nothing bad. It's amazing. There's nothing bad in creation. So where does the bad come from? We created. Elash hara hu min ha'adam. Ha'osa hara. But when Hashem created a world that was all good. Lefichach hanashim hatzidkanios lo hayu bepikta shalchava. So the righteous women, they didn't suffer from the curse of Chava. They live in a world where there's no negativity. There's none of this evil. So therefore, when she gave birth, no labor pains. And even more so, when she gave birth to Moshe, who's going to be you want to know about the purpose and what reality is in this world? That's Moshe. He's an expression of the essence of what things should be. And therefore, there should be no pain associated with his birth. Should know, as a side, that's the nature of how things are. That those which are above, there's no pain, there's no negativity, there's no tsar. But below, everything is constantly bitsar. In this world, it's all tsar. And don't say, but rather that the things that are above, because they have nothing connected to the physical, and therefore there's nothing that plays on it that can bring the pain. And so the tzaddikim are not connected and they're above the chomer, the physical. By the way, if you listen to this wording and you think back to the Tanya's description of what a tzaddik is, right? The tzaddik has no yetzahara, right? This is like the Maharal's laying this out. It's not a coincidence that that's where, when the Tanya's writing his thing, he's read this. These ideas are in writings of the morale that we see that he has an impact on what he has when he explains it, right? Asher bo hachet vayetzar, right? Rak notim el hatsura lachachinim akavim tsar v'yimshach hanhagatam achar hatsura she'en batsar klal, right? They're completely driven by the spiritual, and there's no negativity, there's no suffering. Lefichach kasher holita yocheved in Moshe. So when she gives birth to Moshe, Shabo Shlemos Hatsura Yoter Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama Lo Hayalim Otzar Leida. That's why she had no childbirth, no pains, because she's giving birth to that which is really the ultimate spiritual being that was born. Ki Kol Inyan Moshe Shayenotar Hatsura V'Nivdal Min HaTeva Achomer V'Dvarim Elu Ein Haratzo Mezeh She'ein Tzar LeTzadikim Klal Ki Lo Timsa Tzar B'Sula B'Tzadikim Kedei L'Kosa Mechef V'Avam. So he says, now you should know that this idea of then with the pain and suffering, let's say, that tzaddikim go through, right, that's coming in order to help them be able to, I guess, cleanse them from sin. And also, right, lankosu mechid vavon, aval ha-kavana b'zeh, ha-yisum ha-shehen boyim ma'bat ha-chom ha-kiminhago sha'olam. But it's also really part and parcel of what the nature of this world is. Right, so this idea, when the tzaddikim are really completely connected to the spiritual plane, then there's no, and they're completely divorced from the physical. So that then there's no tsar. Pretty unbelievable idea. So you see that from the way that the Torah is laying out for us that the simple explanation of just no names, and it's coming to tell us something very deep. It's coming to really tell us about the special aspect of who Moshe was. And so therefore it's not just a reflection of the fact that the Jews are going through a difficult time and therefore their identities are lost. That's why there's no name, but rather the names are removed because it's a reflection on the nature of who Moshe was. So that when Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's just, we take it for granted. There was a man who was so close to God that was able to go up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights and basically didn't have to eat. How does that work? But for a person who's in that place of completely divorced from the physical, that can be done. And so Moshe, even at his birth. And it's interesting. It says that she saw there was a certain special glow that Moshe had. He had that light from the Or HaGanos, from the hidden light. So there's a very, so it's amazing to see that, you know, that's what it says next thing about Taro Toki Tov, that that there's something very, you know, they recognize right away about who this, this was not, you're, this is not a regular person. So that's...
I was going to say that later on in the Torah, when they want to insult Moshe, they call him Ben Amram, right? It's almost like they're reminding him that they're trying to take him down a notch.
Right, for sure. Right, so that's that could be that that could be a play on this based on this idea by saying Ben Amram, you're not this lofty person. Yeah, it's good. Very good. All right.